Today on Real Radio.
And he's going to somehow, with a brilliant stroke of religiosity, get all the Jews and the Muslims and the so-called Christians and whatever together, and there's going to be one harmonious group of people. The only problem is God tells us that they've all missed the way of eternal life by compromising so.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called What Christians Believe. And within this collection of lessons, Pastor Jack is delivering a mini-series, if you will, that takes a look at one of the essentials of our faith, and that is the second coming. Now, Scripture teaches that the Messiah will come riding in on a donkey, but it also says that he will come in the clouds of heaven. Well, as we're learning, it's not an either-or, it's a both-and. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing in his mini-series called What Christians Believe About the Return of Jesus Christ.
The Bible tells us that in the last days, in the symbolism of a world influential, powerful, global church, there will be such an allegiance given to this global church that apparently all the other cults and religions of the world will swear allegiance to this global church. Interesting. It is a worship system that, according to the Bible, has been around nearly forever. So that means it takes us back to ancient Babylonianism, predating Egyptian worship. It is a worship system that encompasses the pagan worship systems of the world. Whatever it is a false church, the Bible tells us and shows us. It's an imposter church. How do we know that? Because there's one who is going to present himself as the false prophet that comes out of this church. And there will be this interesting, unholy trinity of Satan using a beast that is a beast of a religious system, and another beast that is of a political system. And I wish we had the time to get into it. Maybe we will on Sundays, in our future Sundays to come, regarding the Antichrist. But the Bible tells us that there'll be so much to the point of a mimic of Jesus Christ that the Antichrist, did you know this? The Bible says, both in Old and New Testament alike, that there's going to be some sort of an assassination attempt placed upon him, and he's going to appear, the Bible says, to be dead for guess how many days? 3 days. The Antichrist is going to be risen, and all the world is going to worship and praise him and give him all kinds of glory, and the world will marvel. And the Bible says that the false prophet, the beast, will have been granted power by Satan to have him, the political ruler, stand up and be apparently, as it appears, brought back to life. And he's the false Christ. But before he comes, there's going to be a false religious system. And every good Bible student would say, well, why is that important? Well, it's very important. Revelation 16, 13 says, and I saw three unclean demonic spirits looking like frogs. This has got to freak John out, you know? Coming out of the mouth of Satan, the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And they are spirits of demons which perform signs and wonders in the earth. The Bible clearly leads us to understand that in the end, this world will turn to a man who will gather together the world's religions and make a one world religious family. He's going to somehow unify the religions of the world. And if you know a little bit about history and certain times of the Christian church, it was a horrible time when the Christian church tried to impose Christianity on the world. And then you see things where governments tried to legislate that Christianity would be the state church. Or then you would see in other parts of the Roman Empire, of course, where the church at Rome would be the authoritative church. And if you didn't pledge allegiance to Rome, you would be then ostracized and even put to death. Very, very interesting. You say, well, there's no way that we're ever going to do that again. That can't happen again. Listen, it's closer to happening now than it ever has been. You want to know why? There's a very, very dirty word that's out there that people are swallowing hook, line, and sinker. It would be a great word if they would have kept Noah Webster's original definition of the real word. But they've polluted and twisted and given new definition to the word tolerance. Did you know that? I bet you right now, if I had you stand up and say, give me the definition of the word tolerance, I bet you maybe 50% of this audience would fail at giving the actual definition of the word tolerance because you've been so polluted by a new world system of defining words and then, for that matter, revision of history. Tolerance, today tolerance means that you put up with everything I give you. Okay, but you are not allowed to express what I just expressed upon you. In other words, if I have a certain persuasion, I can pick it, I can protest, I can put it on film, I can do this, I can make you vote about it in the ballot box, and you've got to sit and listen to it, and in fact, you got to go to class, and you've got to take a course on it. New tolerance says that, with the same breath turns and says, and you shut your mouth about Christianity and don't you dare pray in Jesus' name. Let's be tolerant, they'll say. Excuse me? The actual word for tolerant or tolerance is, you hear my opinion with respect. You don't have to accept it or not. Christianity is not, we're not going to ram that down your throat. Neither should you ram your view down our throat. Tolerance means state your opinion, state your view, and I will receive it and listen to it with respect. I don't have to agree to it, see? That's tolerance. I don't have to agree with you. I can tolerate your differing view. That's tolerance. And you can do that with peace. And you can do that without violence. That's the meaning of being tolerant. Whatever your view is, let's hear it, okay, and let's talk about it. Listen to this. Even in a very tolerant setting, we can even argue cases back and forth. We can state reasons why. We can dialogue about it in a tolerant area or in a tolerant gathering. We can do that. That's what the word means. See, I'm a Christian. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And you know what? The moment you do that, people will say, hey, 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 stop. You can't say that. But let me tell you about, I remember a day in America. I remember a day in the city I live in, my own city that I live in, when you could put a nativity display on your front lawn and your Jewish neighbor right next door could put a Star of David if he wanted to on his lawn. And the Satanist could put a, I don't know what he puts on his lawn. And the guy, I mean, you could do whatever you wanted to do, and it's just the way that it is. But now there are cities that say, no, you can't mention any Christmas songs in school. You can't sing them that specifically mention Jesus or that he is the Christ. Did you know that? Because all the Muslims are upset about it. It's all in the name of tolerance. This is America. If you want to have Hanukkah, praise the Lord, have Hanukkah, you know? Or whatever it might be. If you're an atheist, you know what? That's your right. And if you live next door to me as an atheist, you know what? That's your right. I'm not going to bash you because you're an atheist. I'm going to be tolerant of your view. Right now, more than ever, we are hearing if we're going to be a loving and peaceful and an obedient church to God, we must tolerate all people. Listen, that's true, but they don't tell you the whole story. You must tolerate all people by tolerating the fact that they do this, that, and the other. They just pull it into one big package and deliver it, and that's absolutely anti-scripture. The false prophet and this false religion is going to come on the scene prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. It has to happen prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he's going to somehow, with a brilliant stroke of religiosity, get all the Jews and the Muslims and the so-called Christians and whatever together. And there's going to be one harmonious group of people. The only problem is God tells us that they've all missed the way of eternal life by compromising so. When Jesus Christ comes back in the second coming, he will destroy, put an end to this forthcoming global religion that the Bible speaks about. In Revelation 19, beginning at verse 19, it says, "And I saw the beast, the Antichrist, with the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the Antichrist was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived all those who received the number," that is 666, the mark of the beast, "and those who worshipped his image. These two men, the Antichrist and the false prophet, were cast alive into the lake of fire with brimstone." Wow. See, well, that's just figuratively speaking. Yeah,
right.
This is going to happen. But there's a big push, church, listen, there's a big push to water down our differences and just bring everyone together. You hear it like this: we all worship the same God. I had somebody knock on my door, it was Tuesday. Someone knocked on my door, and I opened the door, and I had just gotten back from a flight. I was tired. I'd been up for 2 days. I opened the door, and I just opened the door, opened my eyes. Hadn't gotten to bed yet. Standing there. "Hi, we just wanted to..." And I said, wait, you know what? "I'm so sorry. I know what you believe. I know more about what you believe than what you believe about what you believe. And the truth is, we don't need to talk right now because you worship a totally different Jesus. You don't rely upon the Bible. You've got your other book. And you know what? Don't even go there. It's not the same God. It's not the same book. It's not the same Jesus." And either he asked or I said, I think he asked, "Are you Christian?" And I, in fact, yes, he said, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yes, I am. And you're going to tell me you are too. And you're not." Because I know this cult very, very well, very well. They know me very well. And the tactic is to go to your door now and say, "Are you a Christian? You're just like us." And my comeback every time is, "Am I just like you? Yes, you are. Isn't that great? Then why do you want me? Why do you demand? Why do I have to go to your church if we're Christians? If there's a Baptist brother who goes to his church, he's my brother. If there's a Lutheran and he's born again, he's my brother. If you're of this cult and you're calling me brother and we're Christian, then why do I have to go to your cult? Don't come to my door and try to pull that over my eyes, because it's wrong." No, there's this satanic push to skew the lines. And we have to be careful as a church, because people will often say to someone, "Oh, hi, do you believe in God?" "Yes, I do." "Oh, isn't that great? He believes in God. Look, I just met this guy. He believes in God." "God who? Which God? What God? What belief system is it?" It's a very dangerous time. This false prophet will come on the world scene and tie all these people together. Somehow he's going to do it by satanic powers, and it will happen. Revelation 17, verse 1. Revelation 17, 1 says, "Now one of the seven angels talked with me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the judgment of the great religious harlot who sits on many waters.'" Isn't that interesting? Remember that coin? "With whom the political rulers of the earth have committed religious fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy. having 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of the abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of spiritual harlotries and of the abominations of the earth. Man, I tell you, that's a study right there that you don't even have to do a religious study on. If you do a study in secular history on that statement right there, it will lead you back to ancient Babylon and the things that they worshiped, and you will be shocked about how contemporary that worship is today. I saw that woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, John says, I marveled with great amazement. She's a religious harlot that eats Christians alive. And she's done it throughout history, and she's not done doing it. Because during the tribulation period, I believe it's Daniel chapter 7, verse 21, that says that God will grant power to the Antichrist. Listen, God will grant power to the Antichrist to overcome the tribulation saints at that time and kill them for their faith. Believers in Jesus Christ during the tribulation period will have to die for their faith. Just like you and I are called right now to live for our faith. Number four. Oh boy. Number four. We've got to get all the way through in like the next 3 minutes. So let's go. He will destroy the global political ruler. Don't need to spend much time on that. This is the man who, when he comes on the scene, known as the Antichrist, Zechariah calls him the idol shepherd. Book of Revelation calls him the beast. Some people call him Mr. 666, you know? Why? Because he's the one. He's a man. Daniel chapter 2 tells us that he's a man who somehow, in some very strange way, begins to mingle himself in the spiritual realm. And he's granted powers by Satan. And what comes out of this man is the genius idea. Somehow he's going to capitalize on technology to whereby he will have all the world receive the mark. And even non-Christians know what this mark is. 666. Interesting. The Bible tells us 666. Why 666? What's all, you know, that about? Very interesting. Why that number? And people speculate they have for the last 2,000 years regarding that number. And I don't know the reason exactly why. I just find it very interesting, by the way, the letter, all Greek and letter Hebrew letters of the Greek and Hebrew language have numerical values. Did you know that? They have numerical values. The letter for what is a W in Hebrew, the W is a number 6. Not even going to get an ooh or ah. When you go online, what do you do? www dot. Boom. Go home and take some, go look at you know those barcode thingies on the back of your products? Every one of them that you have in your house begins with the number 6. Directly right in the middle is the number 6, and on the very far end is the number 6. Every one of them in the code. Every one of them. Every one of them around the world. Everywhere I go. I was in Germany a week and a half ago. I looked at it. There it is. Okay. Why? 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 Why not the number 333? Why not 444? Why not 555777? No, it's 666. How come? I don't know. I don't think we'll know. I think we'll be in heaven by then. But it's very interesting. The Bible warns us about this man who's going to come. And I tell you, you know, there's a lot of talk right now about securing the borders of America and, for that matter, for the world. And what a smart idea. Think about it. I believe that Satan is going to capitalize on all this terrorism. I don't mean by blowing stuff up and messing up economies and scaring people. I think the goal is to so shake the stability of the world and its security measures that it's going to prove to be extremely advantageous to every nation to have their citizens marked so that you can traffic all over the world as long as you've got your number. For example, did you know Costco, when you go to Costco, did you know that the Costco Corporation spends a quarter of what, say, Albertson spends on fraud? Why? Why does Albertsons pay three-quarters of amount of damages and lawsuits and stuff against people who have ripped them off for fraudulent activity versus Costco? How come? Anybody want to take a wild guess? How come? Exactly. Membership. You got a number. You got a card. I got news for you. You can have $1,000 in your pocket, cold hard cash. You're not going to get in to Costco, and you're not going to be able to buy anything without their number. Because I got one. I got the card. I don't have the $1,000 in my pocket. Is it interesting that I have in my office an injectable microchip that when I scan the scanner over it, it gives me a number that's in the back of the neck of the dog? Well, isn't it interesting that racehorses, thoroughbreds, they put this and they keep the medical records of these horses. Many Marines and U.S. Navy SEALs have implantable chips in them. Thousands of them. I've seen them. I've had a chance to feel them. Why? Security measures. Spectacular. It's fantastic. Works great. By the way, the next thing you're going to see is your check-in baggage. Your check-in baggage will soon have that strap that goes around your bag that says, you know, Houston or wherever you're going, that strap's going to become electronic. That piece of paper is going to become an electronic piece of paper. And it's going to have a disposable wafer in there with all of who you are, what time you checked in, where you live. Whatever they want will go on that thing. And they'll know exactly whose bag that is and if you're sitting in the seat or not. It's fantastic. Satan's going to use it. Number five, Jesus Christ in his second coming will establish his throne upon the throne of David. Jesus Christ must sit upon the throne of David. He has to sit upon the throne of David. And the throne of David is in Jerusalem. Jesus has yet to sit upon the throne of David in Jerusalem. How do we know Jesus Christ has got to come back to earth in the second coming? He must sit upon the throne of David. You know what? We're so short on time. I'm going to give you some verses. You can look them up later. John 1:49 says so. John 1:49, John 12:13 says so. Revelation 22:16 says that Jesus will do so. 1 Kings 2:45 says so. And of course, an upcoming Christmas favorite, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7 says, of the increase of his government and the peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, he will establish his kingdom. Jesus must sit upon the throne of David. Number six, why is the second coming so important? Because Jesus Christ will come to judge the nations of the world. Revelation 19:16 says, it is Christ Jesus who has a name written on his vesture and on his thigh, written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, finally, Paul says, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called What Christians Believe About the Return of Jesus Christ. It's a look at one of the teachings in Scripture that is both an essential as well as one of the great hopes of our faith. In fact, so much so that What Christians Believe About the Return of Jesus Christ is actually a mini-series and part of Pastor Jack's greater set of topical studies called What Christians Believe. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And remember, if you'd like to hear today's Real Radio once again, you can always visit us at realradioactive.org. Listen to today's broadcast as many times as you'd like. You can also hear past editions of Real Radio. You can even become a Real Radio podcast subscriber. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll know right where to point and click. It's real easy. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.